ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
Reading two?
Yeah.
I don't know if I want to read that. Is there any? Do we have another?
We can start another chapter.
What about? Something about Krishna being appearing?
From 10th canto.
Mm-hmm.
Here are glories of Lord Ananta.
What page?
Yes, 409.
It's a different page here. What chapter?
Chapter 25.
Oh, it's not here.
Yeah.
Canto 5, chapter 25.
Yeah.
Text number?
Well, it's all chapter is. In the beginning is a description of Lord Anantadev. He's beautiful.
Okay, here's one. Text number 5. Yasya Ivahi Nagaraja Kormaya Aishishya. Beautifully decorated with bangles and completely spiritual. They are white, and so they appear like silver columns. When the beautiful princesses of the serpent kings, hoping for the Lord's auspicious blessings, smear his arms with agrupope, sandalwood pope, and kumkum, the touch of his limbs awakens lusty desires within them. Understanding their minds, the Lord looks at the princesses with a merciful smile, and they become bashful, realizing that he knows their desires. Then they smile beautifully and look upon the Lord's lotus face, which is beautified by reddish eyes rolling slightly from intoxication and delighted by love for his devotees. Report. Qualification. Namagyanitim timidandasya janaganasalakayam chakrus miritam jena tasmai shi gurave namaha shi chaitanya manavishtam chavitam jena bhutale swayam prakaramay nadatvi saparantikam shi krishna chaitanya prabhu nityananda shri advaita radha shiva sri gaura bhakti vrinda Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. So today is the auspicious appearance of Lord Sri Krishna. So why does Lord Krishna appear? Janma karma cha me divyam evam yo veti tatvata tatvadeyam pranami naiti mam eti soja. He says, I appear just so that people can understand that my birth is not ordinary. My activities are not ordinary, my pastimes. And by realizing that, they can become eligible to enter the spiritual world. This is the real purpose for the Lord's coming, descending. Otherwise, he has no business here, this place of birth and death. But he comes to give the sincere and pure souls a chance to get out of this predicament, get out of this labyrinth of material life, which is always defeating us. And how can we do that? See, very simple, just by getting a little traction for the name and the form and the pastimes, the activities of the Lord when he comes. Therefore, his activities are recorded. Srimad Bhagavatam, Mahabharata, Bhagavad Gita, these are all records of the activities of the Lord. Like Srila Prabhupada says about Bhagavad Gita, we have no interest in some bygone politics, family politics between the Kuruvas and the Pandavas. But because Krishna is involved, therefore we have interest. Because Krishna is in the center of the whole exchange. How is it that you can say, hearing about Krishna, we become liberated? Yes. As Prabhupada is mentioning here, even we can be free from all lusty desires by hearing about Krishna's lust. Of course, in order to do that, Prabhupada is cautioning us, we have to, first of all, become pure. So how do we become pure? That Lord Chaitanya has given us. Very simple method. Chant very sincerely the holy name of Krishna. That will make us pure. So this was the process that he showed in his personal example. And he also recommended that we approach him through his representative, Nityananda. Therefore, we were mentioning Advaita Sabha. So Nityananda is the original spiritual master, because he's thinking, let me bring everybody to Lord Chaitanya. When he and Haridasa Thakura are going out, they meet Jagai and Madhai. This is what Nityananda is thinking. Oh, if we can deliver these two to Lord Chaitanya, then Lord Chaitanya's fame will certainly grow, because they're such rogues and thieves. Then everybody will realize that Lord Chaitanya is not an ordinary person, but he's able to deliver even the most fallen. So he makes a plan how to deliver them. So this is the mood of the spiritual master. He's thinking how to bring people to Krishna. Therefore, we have to connect with such a bona fide spiritual master whose only mission is to somehow or other get people to become qualified to understand the activities of the Lord and how they're not mundane. So Janmasthami is a good opportunity for us to do that, to by fasting and talking about Krishna, chanting extra rounds, we can we remember Krishna, we can become more Krishna conscious. This is opportunity. Bhaktivinoda talks about how those who observe Ekadasi and Janmasthami, this is like the mother of devotion. By observing these holy days, they will become, the devotion will increase. Like a mother is giving birth to the child, so the following these rules and regulations will give birth to devotion. We may not feel very devoted, just like one devotee came and everybody was bowing down, but he didn't feel like bowing down. So he said, Prabhupada, I have to do what I feel like doing. I can't be dishonest to myself. But Prabhupada said, no, if you go on bowing down, then you'll feel like doing it. The activity itself will produce the desire, just like the mother produces the child. Therefore, in the beginning stages, we take these activities out of duty. We may not feel like fasting. We may not feel like increasing our chanting and hearing. But if we do it, then we'll see the result will be that our devotion will increase. So this is called sadhana bhakti. We may not be spontaneously attracted, but certainly will. Attractive or that spontaneous stage can come to us. We can enter into that. But we shouldn't jump over. Sahaja, they want to immediately go to the lusty exchange between Radha and Krishna, because they're lusty. And they think, just like a lusty man is attracted to pornography. Even he's seen so many naked women, still, when he hears there's another chance to see, then he's attracted, he's pushed. This is the nature of lust, a very cruel master, always pushing us. therefore, Bhagavad Gita recommends that in the very beginning we have to curb this great symbol of sin, lust, by regulating the senses. So regulating the senses means we come under the guidance of the Acharya. Srila Prabhupada has recognized Acharya. So if we take his instructions then and follow them sincerely, we can come to this point of becoming free from lust. This is our goal. We want to become free from lust and all other bad material influences. And we are confident we can do that because the nature of the soul is pure, anandamaya vyasya. It's full of joy. So why can't we, again, uncover that joyful, spontaneous, natural state? Simply we have to remove the dirty things from the heart. So Prabhupada said in this regard that sometimes it takes longer, depending on how that dirt is, you can say, ground in. This question came up, but I read something afterwards about it, that Prabhupada makes this comparison to washing a cloth. If the cloth is not so dirty, then it comes clean very easily. But if the dirt is kind of ground in, then you may have to clean it repeatedly in order to get it out. So mode of ignorance especially means that it's very deeply rooted. Ignorance is just opposite of what's good for us. Just opposite. Just like the emblem of the ignorant person is the one who's selling intoxication. He's thinking, oh, good, I sold another bottle of whiskey. This is good. But actually it's bad. The more he sells, the more he goes to hell. So ignorance is like that. It's dictating us to act just contrary to our real well-being. Therefore, because this is Kali Yuga, we all have some ignorance, some passion, some goodness, mixed modes. Nobody's very pure in this age. So we should be patient, in other words. We should recognize our disqualification and take the medicine very regularly, consistently, without becoming hopeless. It's like we're reading that verse at Vaishya's house, that even we may sometimes indulge in sense gratification, still we shouldn't be discouraged. And we should lament that, of course, and not feel happy that we're weak, but we shouldn't dwell on it. And we should try to make ourselves stronger. How do we make ourselves stronger? Well, one of the easiest ways is to associate with others who are strong. We can become inspired by their association. Therefore, at Nectar Devotion Advisors, we should seek out the association of those who are considered more advanced. Because in that association, our qualities will also come to the front, our good qualities, our devotional activities and qualities will come forward in such association. If we associate with those who are lusty, then we'll also become lusty. This is common sense. And therefore, we have to be careful about our association. Who do we reveal our mind to? Who do we eat with? Who do we exchange gifts with? These things are recommended to be done only with the devotees. Otherwise, we have to deal with the lusty people, because the whole world is full of lusty people. We can't avoid their association, but we should do so in a very, a formal way, not to become intimate with them. We may deal with people, but we don't go with them to the bar afterwards and discuss and talk and so on. No. We socialize only with the devotees. This should be our goal. We have to have social life. We're social animals. But then we should socialize like we do at Vaishya's house. We talk. Then we eat together. This is social life also. Then discuss, like this girl is looking for a husband. That's social life. But because it's done in the association of devotees, then it's nothing bad there. We can try to help each other on the social platform. We can find this girl a husband. That's nice. So like that. We don't deny that there's social life, but it should be with devotees. Otherwise, the detrimental effect of the karmi association will certainly wreak havoc in our devotional creeper. So this is just one item. But this item is mentioned quite regularly. Jhana Sangam, not to associate with the ordinary man. Ordinary man, they're only thinking about lust and greed and how to make money and enjoy life. And therefore their association should be given up. And we should seek out the association of the devotees. This is a very important item. Lord Chaitanya stresses this item. He showed in his own example not to associate. And his associates also were trained up in that principle. When one of his devotees was associating with the Mayavadis, Lord Chaitanya said he didn't want to meet him again. I think it was Mukunda's mind. Because he was socializing with the Mayavadis. Lord Chaitanya said, don't associate with these people. So?
What if your own parents are Mayavadis?
Don't associate with them. To the only minimum, formally. I wouldn't advise. If you're strict, you know, you won't want to sit and eat with them and talk all their nonsense. What do they talk about? You have to hear so many nonsense things, and you have to eat so many nonsense things. And otherwise, and we're not fanatics, but we should say this is an important principle, and we shouldn't think, this principle is not, won't affect me. It will affect you. Therefore, we should be careful. I have also brothers, sisters, I don't know, so I say, once every 10 years or something, we have a family reunion. Of course, my parents are dead. But Even when my parents were alive, my mother, my father was dead before I became a devotee, but I didn't associate with her under her terms, go to her house, listen to her talk. You know, if she wanted to come to the temple, or if I did go there, it was just for, you know, a visit. Not that we spent a lot of time or chit-chatted. Otherwise, you see, you can benefit them. If they see that you're really serious, then they have to become curious. My son, he was never very serious about anything. Why is he so serious about this bhakti yoga? Maybe there's something here. We can help them. It's like Prahlad. He was associating with his father, but he was associating on his terms. His father was asking, oh, what was the best thing you learned in school? Yes. Shravanam kirtana vishnu smarapada saivanam. Even his father became angry, he didn't care. He was just telling, you know, speaking from his heart, telling him what's the best thing. So if we can associate in that way, even give our association to them, then there's no harm. We go door to door, we go on the street, we meet people to give them Krishna. If you can do like that, you can do like that?
No. I've always felt uncomfortable preaching for some reason.
Well, preaching is a question of compassion. If you're really convinced that people are suffering because of lack of Krishna consciousness, then preaching is easy.
Yeah.
But if you're not sure, then of course it's difficult. So become convinced. I was preaching on the phone. I had to, because we were moving, I had to change my credit card, addresses. I had to call up and the girls, and some girl was there. So I gave her the new address and everything, and then she, at the end, she said, so anything else? I said, yes. Please chant Hare Krishna. She said, what? Well, why not? If there's opportunity to talk about Krishna. People can benefit. Okay, any other points? Adi Rasa. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur describes this. Isn't it?
Yeah.
The original lusty feeling, or the original exchange. Exchange. Why do we exchange with anybody? There has to be some rasa there. We're getting something from them, they're getting something from us. That's a rasa, that's exchange. But the original exchange is Radha and Krishna. But it's not lusty. Otherwise, in this world, it's all lusty. And lust is very cruel. If it doesn't satisfy it, it'll do any damn thing. Rape and murder, just to get its way. You see, the papers are full of crimes committed out of lust.
How is murder lust?
Well, it can be connected with rape. That's what they do, right? They rape the young girls and they kill them. There won't be any evidence or any witnesses or something. Buried him in the backyard. They just found him in Oregon. 13-year-old girls, two 13-year-old girls, buried in the backyard. Some lusty man who's in jail for rape on another case. So maybe it's not directly lusty, but I don't know what you call it then. Probably murder is more performed out of anger and greed. But lust too. A man will kill the husband so he can enjoy the wife. Macbeth, do you know Shakespeare? That was a theme. No, Hamlet. Hamlet, the father. The king was killed by his brother, and the wife was involved in the murder. The both of them plotted to kill her so they could enjoy without his being there. They could enjoy the kingdom in each other. But they couldn't enjoy it. She had an attack of conscience. There's a famous line, she was trying to wash off the blood spot. Out, out, damn spot. She couldn't wash away her remembrance of her sinful activity, murdering her husband. That proves there's a God, that we feel guilt. Because the super soul is there. The super soul knows what we're doing is wrong. So we may feel guilty. Therefore, we should get in connection with the super soul and do what the super soul wants, then we won't feel guilty. Bhaktivinoda talks about that. How? When will that day come when I can speak from the core of my heart, whatever is there, without any duplicity, without any hesitation? Diplomacy. That's the quality of the sadhu. He's fearless. He can speak anything. Because on his own account, he's not concerned. Like Prahlad Maharaj. He could just speak so straightforwardly to his father. He knew his father wasn't going to like it. He didn't think about that. He just spoke what came to his heart. His father asked him a question. What was the best thing you learned? And he told him, the best thing I learned is to worship Krishna. Remember Krishna, to hear about Krishna. He wasn't being tricky or calculating, just simple. Sridhar Maharaj used to say like this. They don't want to come because I'm a plain speaker. I don't know what he's saying. Use that word, plain speaker. Mm-hmm. He was criticizing them sometimes.
So Sri Maharaj was criticizing
them? Sometimes, yeah. I remember he's saying, he's ruling like a lion. Bhavananda was ruling like a lion. He would get angry. And he said, but this is not the way of the Vaishnava. Should I know what you're saying? He was right. Then Bhavananda fell down. He was already falling down, having homosex with different boys and stuff. And out of that homosex, he became angry, naturally, frustration. So he was dealing with others in the same angry way. And then they were coming complaining to Sridhar Maharaj. Bhavananda said this, Bhavananda did that. So Sridhar Maharaj could understand there was some truth to it. He was saying in a constructive way. I didn't see any sinful activity from his side at all. The only thing is, his mood was a little different about how to organize. He didn't have a conception to take over the world for Krishna, like Prabhupada had. And therefore, some of his advice on, like I saw one thing that he said on VNN that was quoted just yesterday, quote of the week, Sridhar Maharaj, saying that the new temples, this is what he said, Sridhar Maharaj said this, the gurus, if they want to open a new temple and be worshipped there, then they should go out and open. But the old temple should be reserved just for Prabhupada disciples. Something like that. It sounds reasonable. But that wasn't what Prabhupada had in mind. He didn't want the gurus to be independent of the GBC. See, Sridhar Maharaj had a hard time with that conception, that the GBC has the final authority. Because that, he said, that's your committee. In other words, generally, in our Vaishnava tradition, the committee isn't in charge. Just like Sridhar Maharaj left Govinda Maharaj in charge. There's one person, Acharya, of that month. He's in charge. That's the way our tradition has been. Autocratic. One person. But on the order of Bhaktisiddhanta, Sridhar Prabhupada tried to establish the GBC as the final authority. So it was.
So it was Bhaktisiddhanta's idea.
Yeah, it was. But they somehow it didn't work, right? They didn't do it. The disciples, I heard that they tried for some time, but they couldn't adjust with each other somehow. And even Sridhar Maharaj, when a lot of the devotees were coming to him, Western body devotees in the early days, so he was saying, you should also form a GBC then and cooperate together. Dear Krishna was involved. He could tell you this story. they went and they met, and after one day meeting, they came back and said, we can't do it. It's the same thing again. It's hard to do. But we feel that's the austerity the Prabhupada gave us. That's the you know, biggest challenge. He said that you can show your love by how you cooperate together. So cooperate together means, especially the GBC members, they're the leaders. If they can't cooperate together, then how will ordinary devotees cooperate together? So he wanted that. That's why I'm not happy with Chiprari and others, because they gave up that instruction so quickly. I mean, Deer was a little different because he was sent by the GBC to inquire from Srila Maharaj, to go regularly, to hear from him, to get advice from him and give it back to the GBC. So in that activity, he became attached to Srila Maharaj. Then it became an affair of the heart, so to speak. So then he accepted Srila Maharaj as his guru, as his main link to Krishna. Looks like that's how he still feels. He's working with Govinda Maharaj. He didn't come back and try to work with ISKCON. That he thinks that, you know, I see that. You know, he wasn't that close with Prabhupada. He was never like in one of the ones who was working closely with Srila Prabhupada. So when he had a chance to work closely with Srila Maharaj, then his heart went to him. And that's where he is. That's where his faith is now. He's a disciple of Srila Maharaj. I think he'll admit that. That's his first connection. And because of Srila Maharaj's instructions, he's working with Govinda Maharaj.
He's a little distant with his disciples, though, Swami Maharaj, or he is previous disciples.
Well, I guess he feels embarrassed. Then.
Well, even before he had problems, he...
Well, he must have had some problem in his heart, right, with the whole philosophy.
People were sleeping during his class in the morning, and he stopped giving classes in San Jose.
Because they were sleeping?
Because they would be going like this, yeah. I was one of them. And he just got very disturbed with that. And he would give class every morning until people were just nodding out. And then he just gave a class on the Sunday feast lecture. But that's it, once a week.
He was an intellectual kind. He gave good class for them. So I have the same thing. It disturbs me if people fall asleep. I tell them to stand up. It is discouraging if you're giving a class, speaking philosophy, and people falling asleep. Prabhupada used to get disturbed himself. He did. I can show you some quotes where he said, why are you not getting enough sleep at night? Why is this sleeping in class? Very disturbing to me.
So a lot of his disciples never got that close to a Swami Maharaj.
Well, I mean, there had to be some problem in his heart also, because he lost his faith, right, after that. So in other words, he wasn't dealing properly with you all.
When Srila Maharaj left the planet, he became much more withdrawn too.
When Srila Maharaj left?
Yeah.
What year did Srila Maharaj leave?
He was 88, I think.
88, yeah. He stayed, I see that. 11 years after Prabhupada left. He was still here.
So that's part of the reason is why I come, you know, to hear other Vaishnavas, and I'm almost looking for a different connection sometimes, just because I wanted some more personal guidance.
Sure.
And he's very heavy. You can't sit down and talk with him sometimes. He's like, what's his point? I feel very intimidated.
Have you met him since he's back?
Oh yeah, I've seen him a few times. He's been traveling around the world lately, so he doesn't stay in one place very long. But
where did you see him?
I saw him in SoCal. I went there for a couple of days. SoCal is Santa Cruz.
Yeah. He was there?
Yeah, he was there.
That's Govinda Maharaj's ashram.
Right.
Well, I think it's up to you. I don't think that he would be very much, you know, condemning if you made another connection, considering what happened to him. I mean, he was really falling down.
Yeah, it was really bad. And I was even going to him and helping him sometimes, you know, paying for hotels and arranging for him to get something to eat. I'd be calling my credit card number to a pizza parlor or something. just things to help him out. Because he didn't have much. His own family kind of wrote him off. You know,
his family from Jersey, really?
Yeah, and his brother said that he just expects to get a call one day, you know, that, that he's going to be passed on. And he's going to
get in a morgue.
Yeah, something like that. That's all he was expecting.
Still, I wouldn't know if you could tell him. In other words, generally we say you should approach the Diksha Guru, get his permission to accept Shiksha from somebody else. And then you go to that person. If he gives permission, then that person can be your main link. Just like the you know, Dhira is initiated by Prabhupada, but why he's getting his main connection from Govinda and Sushila Maharaj, because they're his Shiksha Guru. So you can do the same thing. But generally, when a guru is on the planet, then you ask his permission.
I didn't ask his permission, but I did tell him I was coming to see you.
Uh-huh. Well, you saw him since you've been coming here?
Yeah.
I'd like to see him.
He should be back. I don't know when he's coming back sometime. September, I believe.
What did he say about that?
Well, he said, that's good. He said, Trivikram Maharaj is neutral.
I went to his temple on the day when they had a program, Srila Maharaj is leaving the planet in 88.
He went to
San Jose. 13th Street, was it?
Yeah.
They were surprised to see me. It was nice. I mean, I spoke something to him. Because I know Prabhupada had an affection for Srila Maharaj. It wasn't like that. He was respecting him as a...
What other god brothers he did? But Srila Prabhupada didn't have as much affection for other god brothers.
No, I think Srila Maharaj he was closest to him because he lived with them and for years together in Calcutta. And he tried to get him to come, you know. He said, I'll make you president of ISKCON.
So Srila Maharaj didn't want to have anything to do with that for some reason.
Yeah.
He was just too, he was more reserved type person.
Exactly. He called himself backwards pushing. So there was a difference in that mood, you know. Srila Maharaj liked to talk and, you know, intimate stuff, and his Prabhupada wanted to take over the whole world. He wanted to. That's why the GVC is important, in my opinion, because without having a strong organization, worldwide organization, we're not going to make that much influence in the world. The world is going to hell, right? Just like the Catholic Church, it has some influence on the world because they're united there, and there's a hierarchy. It's not just everyone is equal. There's a Pope, he's superior, what he said. And so that has some more influence on the world. Not that much. You know, the Pope says we're against abortion, people still get abortion.
Catholics do.
Yeah. But at least they know that the Pope doesn't approve of it, and so that they can correct themselves. You know, that there's hope that they can realize after some time that the Pope was right. I shouldn't have had this abortion. I shouldn't have sent my wife for an abortion. And at the end, before they die, they can repent and you know, ask for forgiveness for that sin. So the Catholic Church has some potency in that sense, that it's still united. But if each sannyasi has his own mission, and you know, then how will it have that much effect on the world? Some effect. It's good. It's better than nothing. Preaching is going on. But I saw that Prabhupada was concerned to have a worldwide preaching mission. Like Alanath came once. Parandvaiti? Remember he came? He came to me. I was in Berkeley. I was temple president of Berkeley for some time. And Sri Purari was here on Church Street. So he had been with Sri Purari visiting. And then he came to us. And I know him. I have a friendly relationship with him. So I allowed him to give class and everything. And afterwards we were in the office and talking, you know, about the ISKCON politics or whatever. And he said to me, this is what he said. He said, I was just with Chief Purari, and I said, this is the best system. In Chief Purari Center, everybody recognizes that he's the guru. And therefore, all the God brothers, whatever, they bring people to him, candidates to him for initiation. This way there's no confusion or quarreling. He said, but I see in ISKCON, because there's so many people initiating, that the disciples, they start feeling, I'm better than the other person because my guru is better than your guru, and there's quarreling. Like that was his his argument. So my counter-argument was, well, it wasn't my idea to have an international society. It was Prabhupada's idea to have an international society. If one person only is going to initiate it, then how is it possible? How can one person initiate for everybody in our society? There has to be many gurus. Right now, like somebody's getting initiated in Taiwan, somebody else is in Siberia, somebody else. How can one person, you know, we can't imitate Prabhupada and think, I'm going to be the acharya for this whole society that he created. So we have to have many gurus, but that is our challenge. If we preach to our disciples in a proper way, that they won't be envious of some other guru or some other disciple, this is our challenge, that we have to, if we want to have an international society, we have to learn how to get past this dilemma. It is a dilemma, how to relate to others in the family. It's not so black and white. He's my father, I'm the son. Now, so the family, I mean, there's other family members. There's uncles, there's nephews, and we have a different relationship with each one of them. And it's a little complicated sometimes, the proper etiquette, how to respect, so on. But that is something we have to learn, I think, in order to please Prabhupada, in order to create a strong worldwide movement. Otherwise, I give all respect to Sri Parai, but he's not going to be able to maintain a big worldwide movement. Like I spoke with Brahma on this point too. And Brahma's point was, I prefer a small society. I mean, ISKCON is going to be big, it's always going to be big, that's what he was telling me just a few days ago. But I prefer working in a small society. So my counterpoint to that is also the same thing. I don't feel I have that prerogative to prefer small or big. I think I have to do what my spiritual master wanted. He wanted to have a big society. Who am I to say I want a small society? You know, my spiritual master left me a big society. He said, here's this framework, like a skyscraper. Now you fill it in. He said, I made the skeleton of the skyscraper. You have to fill it in. So that is, you know, for me, that's my first duty, to please my spiritual master and to try my best to work in such a way that the whole society benefits. Not, even if it is a big society, I may not like a big society so much, and certainly there's problems. I've had problems also with the GBC, but I don't lose my loyalty to them, or to the conception that a GBC, and that therefore, I try to make it a workable system, according to my position, according to my capacity, according to my preaching, it's like I'm talking to you now. I try to, you know, give people confidence that why can't it work? It's just a question of the leaders cooperating nicely. If the disciples see that their gurus are friendly and they really love each other and they're cooperating and they're not competing, you know, who's going to get this disciple, who's going to get that disciple, and fighting over it, like was going on at sometimes between Romeshwar and Hansaduda, then the disciples will be happy. Yeah, we're all in the same family. I have this guru, somebody else has this guru, so what? We're all working, we're servants of Prabhupada and Prabhupada's conception of his society, how to push it forward. And therefore, why not, remain in ISKCON? I haven't heard any convincing arguments. Well, I should give up my loyalty and service to Prabhupada. And I know for a fact that Prabhupada was concerned about his society. He was taxing his brain how to make it go on after he left, because he saw what happened to Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Society. Bhakti Siddhanta Society was a very united, very powerful preaching mission in 1935 when he left, or 37 actually. They had 16 temples, it was a powerful influence in the whole of India, especially. But after he left, then they went into court, the preaching stopped, more or less, not completely, but it wasn't the same, it lost the dynamic. So we saw the same thing happen to ISKCON to some degree. But we should try to make it the less degree.